The Elite versus Team AEW is officially happening at Anarchy in the Arena at Double or Nothing in Las Vegas. What's up, everybody? You're listening to Speak Now Pro Wrestling. It's your girl, Denise Salcedo, and I am joined by Righteous Reg. Reg, what is up?
Denise, it's the California connection. We are in the building. We came into the show talking about the... I don't even want to say it out loud, because if I say it's hot, somebody's going to be like, well, how hot is it? And we're going to say it's not at the temperature that it is, and we're going to get shamed. But we're having a warm one over here in California.
You won't believe it. It's actually 69 degrees See? Where I live. Oh, you know what? I was about to pull it up for a joke, and it went down to 68. Way to go. See? They just ruined the joke for me.
Exactly. We almost had two bits in one. But yeah, if we say the temperature, Denise, then somebody's going to be like, it's this hot over here, or it's blah, 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 and it's not going to compare to anybody.
It's hotter inside the house. That's what it is. Yeah, so I was just saying right now to everybody here, I was like telling Reg, I am not going to turn on my light today because last night on NXT's post show, my AC is broken right now. So last night, oh my God, I think I lost 20 pounds sweating while doing my post show. And today, dude, my thighs were sticking to my chair. Yesterday you had to peel me off the seat. It was disgusting. And I was like, I'm not going to go through that again here today. So you guys are just going to have to do with this so that I won't. Because you get really sweaty during podcasts. That's something we don't talk about.
Yeah, you do. And I've noticed during this podcast, like laughing, you get even sweatier too. Like at the end of this, I'm like, why am I so sweaty? It's weird.
The ins and outs of being a podcaster is the truth revealed. You get hella sweaty.
Yeah. And I choose to wear a beanie and the lights are on me. It's such a stupid idea.
Yeah, I don't know what you're doing, Reg. I really don't know. But anyways, we got to get into AEW because what we've been talking about for several weeks now at this point is officially culminating. A lot of us expected to see the Elite versus Team AEW in an Anarchy in the Arena match, a Double or Nothing. And it's officially happening here today. And on top of that, we kind of had an idea of who we thought was going to make up Team AEW. I hate to disappoint you, Reg. I hate to disappoint the people. Unfortunately, we didn't get Will Washington.
Oh, Denise, I was waiting. I was like, I wonder what song they're going to use. Like what kind of mood he's trying to set while he comes out here. I know he's going to come and save these people because he has to represent for his boss. Very disappointing. Very scary. Will Washington, thought you're going to come at least big boot somebody. No, it's Denise.
We would have gotten some Mariah Carey. He would have came out to Dream Lover, come rescue me. You just know it, right?
Right on the money, Denise. You know exactly that's what it would have been. Mariah Carey brings down Will Washington. He comes down, super kicks everybody in the ring. He hits Okada with the Ringmaker because they're almost the same height, I think. And then it's all over. He stands in the ring with all the championships. Very, very exciting stuff. No, Denise, I think we all kind of, the chat has been talking about it. We're expecting at the end of this, I was like, Motor City Machine Guns, maybe? But, you know, it wasn't what it was.
But you know what, though? I'm not disappointed by that. And the reason for that is that I think that the people that we got, which BTW, we're going to be seeing Team AEW is composed of FTR, which is we already knew, Eddie Kingston, which was my prediction last week. And then the last person, I was thinking, I don't know who it's going to be. And when Bryan Danielson's music hit, I was like, bro, how did you not think about this sooner? When you think of somebody that has been running with the AEW flag up in the air and has truly elevated the company since the moment that he came in and has added so much validity to AEW, it is Bryan Danielson.
Yeah, I didn't even factor him in, Denise, when they were like, we have two more people after Motor City. When they brought out Eddie Kingston, I'm like, well, who could the last person be? And then when it was Bryan, I was like, oh, duh. Yeah, Bryan Danielson. Why wouldn't it be Bryan Danielson? We have this guy here. He's a great. When he stood with Okada again, they've already had matches. I was again like, yeah, let's go. So this is the perfect thing. And the BCC is kind of synonymous with this match. Eddie Kingston is now too. So it makes a lot of sense to add them into it.
I think so, too. It's so weird how we all had this glass shatters moment of, oh, yeah, duh, it makes sense that it's Bryan Danielson.
What? Like, but right.
I got to tell you, man. So let's just talk about it since we're already on the topic. I'm really looking forward to this Anarchy in the Arena because at first I was thinking, oh, you know, I don't really know who's going to be in this. I feel like it can go any direction. And you mentioned the Motor City Machine Guns. And while I'm a fan of the Motor City Machine Guns, I don't necessarily feel it would have been a perfect fit, only because Team AEW should be people that have been in AEW for the longest time. And so Eddie Kingston, perfect, because it's okay, you need somebody in Anarchy in the Arena that's going to be batshit crazy, that's going to do the stuff that, let's be real, we want to see. That's the violence, that's the sicko stuff. Eddie Kingston is going to bring that to the table. Right. And then Bryan Danielson, like you said, through the BCC, has become synonymous with this matchup. So it all really fell in line. And I know a lot of people were probably expecting the Motor City Machine Guns, but this was definitely the better call and just makes more sense for the story overall. And I don't even know why we didn't think about Bryan.
Yeah,
why are we throwing his name out there? What's wrong with us?
You bring up a really great point, Denise. That is exactly the thing. And now I'm thinking about it. The last time we seen Eddie Kingston, he's been telling this story of hating the Young Bucks and what they've become and how they're representing for the front of the company. And Bryan Danielson, there's all this kind of backstory of he's supposed to be this disciplinarian guy. He's on Twitter making jokes. And so for him to come and try to discipline the EVPs, it's like, oh yeah, that just makes so much sense. Like, how do we not think of this again?
Wait, so technically, if we think about it, why isn't Bryan Danielson out here writing up some of, he could write up Okada. Okada's not an EVP.
He could just came out with a notepad and he's just been like, fine. That would have probably been a better story, but the match is going to be great too.
Can you imagine if it had the little paper and everything, rips it out, hands it over, almost like those, what is it? Those hall pass, what are those? Hall monitors. Yeah. There you go. The ones that like give you an infraction for literally everything.
And he kind of looks like one, Denise. If we put like some little glasses on him, maybe like a little vest, like Bryan Danielson, the hall monitor, just passing out fines to everybody. Amazing stuff. No, I think, Denise, we've been at all of these Anarchy in the Arena matches at this point in Las Vegas, and what that match represents, it's always the most fun. There's music playing. Wrestlers are everywhere. Eddie Kingston's bringing out, trying to set somebody on fire. Like, this is just great. And adding these two is amazing. Everybody else in there is awesome, too. We're forgetting about Jack Perry's there. Okada's there. Okada's going to be in his first Anarchy in the Arena. So I'm really excited about this match.
Yeah, all of the dynamics of everyone that's in it is going to be pretty freaking cool. Like you mentioned, Okada being in his first one. Like, that within itself is going to be exciting to see how Okada does in that element. And it makes me wonder, all right, what theme song are we playing? Because you know you got to have the song. You got to have the music. You got to have something going. They've done, who are the songs that they did last time? Wasn't it
Did Moxley. Was Moxley last right? year?
The Wild Thing. It was Wild Thing, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then the other one was a Jericho song?
I think it might have been Jericho.
Yeah. Okay. So you got to do something with words, I feel, with a lot of really big energy.
People in this match, I don't know any of those theme song that could just continuously play for a while that we'll continuously be interested in.
The only one I can think of is Brian's right now, based on what we have. Out of all the options from those songs, from everybody's theme there. I know. I don't know what other options we've got. All right, fine. Do you not like Bryan Danielson's theme song?
The one that he has?
Yeah.
I don't love it.
I like it. It makes you feel like you're going to the club, which is kind of weird because that's not what Bryan Danielson doesn't struck me as a club guy.
You're answering all the questions right here, Denise. Why is this Bryan Danielson song? Why am I dancing to Bryan Danielson coming out? He's about to kick someone's ass. I'm like at the club, like getting my groove on, and Bryan Danielson's coming down. We're in the club dancing, and an amazing wrestler's going to come and tie people in pretzels. I don't know what's going on here.
Okay, but it's still a good song. It may not fit his personality entirely, but it still hits. I like it.
Oh, it's a good song.
I think it's once the lyrics start, I'm like, this isn't Bryan. Like the intro, I feel it. But once the lyrics start, I'm like, this isn't him. This is weird.
Just sitting there like, Bryan Danielson, like, well, I don't understand what's happening right now. Like, he's about to have a 5-star match. Why are we in here getting it? But I understand.
Yeah, see, he's trying to get you in the mood for the five-star match. But I'm looking forward to the anarchy in the arena. I think it's going to be a good time. So now let's see what the people have to say. We got Sheldon Jackson here, who sends in 5DWO memberships. As Sheldon. Always, thank you so much. We got Crazy 101 here, who says, I know Reg loved when Shayna was there.
That leather, Denise. Ooh-wee.
I didn't even notice she was wearing leather. She wears black all the time. How could you even tell the difference?
What you mean you didn't notice she was wearing leather? What were you looking at when the segment was happening?
Clearly, I was looking another direction. Come on, sorry. Denise.
I was like, as soon as I saw that leather, I was like, take me to school, lady. I don't know why leather in school, but yeah, she looked great, you guys.
What kind of education did you have?
I don't know why my mind went to leather in school, but you know, let's just move on.
We got Roberto Arsenal here, who says Mina Shirakawa is living the sweet life. Tony Khan pays and flies her out to and from Japan to drink champagne with Mariah. Check out Mariah and Mina do everything together promo on YouTube early 2023. No, I mean, she's going out there. She's dancing. She's getting champagne. She's hugging. She's giving kisses. I mean, she really is living the life, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, just to take a flight, to come out, have a good time, probably see your friends, run down for 30 seconds, get to be on TV. It sounds like a pretty good job right there for me, Denise.
So let's get into that right now. We got Mariah May versus Harley Cameron. That happened today. To be honest, there's not that much to say about this match. It was a very quick and go thing. Mariah May gets the victory. Was there anything here? Because I think this was the first time I ever saw Harley Cameron wrestle. I don't even think I've seen her wrestle before other than today.
Yeah, that was going to be my question for you, Denise, was like, how do you think that she did? Because I think this was the first time that she's ever had a match on AEW TV. I mean, she has a pretty good dance partner, but considering first time ever, I thought that she went for it, right?
You know, sometimes when you see people that you don't get to see very often wrestle and that you don't really consider, you know, one of the top female wrestlers on the show, because again, we hardly ever see her. She seems more like a character than a wrestler. Usually when you get people like that, there's a lot of stopping and pausing and you notice a lot of the mistakes in the matches, right? I'll tell you this much. I didn't pick up on any of that during this match here. And so that within itself is a pro. And I'm thinking, all right, Harley went in there and there wasn't a moment where I was looking and feeling like I was watching someone in school learn how to wrestle. So I didn't feel that way. So congratulations. It was fine. It did all right. It passed the test.
That's really funny, Denise. I watch matches just like that, too. It's like, are you ready? Type deal. One, two. Like, it's like you could kind of see it, or they're like going through the spots in their head and it's noticeable. It was not noticeable in this match at all. People in the chat are saying she wrestled on Dark. You know, Denise didn't watch that.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, when the hell did I watch Dark? I don't think I watched Dark maybe like two times, and that was when I was actually there for the taping and I showed up on accident because I was oh, we're doing AW Dark. Oh shit. I'm just gonna sit here and eat.
She said I showed up on accident.
You know how many times that's happened to me where I show up to the show and I'm like, oh, I'm ready. I'm here 40 minutes early and I'm like, oh, we're getting into something that's pre-taped. All right, cool. What is this? Ring of Honor? AW Dark? What are we taping right now? Rampage.
Showing up to a show you're supposed to go to on accident is so funny.
No, but like I show up early just to sit there. You know what I'm saying? And then I show up and there's a match happening.
I mean, you can watch the match, Denise. It's not like you don't have to just sit there. They're trying to entertain you while you're there.
It depends on what I'm seeing, Reg.
Snob.
I'm sorry. I'm wrestling bougie, all right?
I can't help it. Yeah, I get it. I understand.
Okay. Are you not there? Do you not consider? I think almost a lot of people are wrestling bougie. If people weren't wrestling bougie, we wouldn't be fighting all the time on Twitter.
You ain't wrestling bougie because some of them shows you be covering.
Yeah, but hey, everybody's got different things. You see what I mean? You see what I mean? You're being bougie.
I just did it in that moment.
Yes, you're being bougie about your wrestling taste insulting my wrestling taste.
I'm like, me? I could never. And then 5 seconds later, you watch the worst wrestling show of all time.
You see what I mean? Everyone here, whether you like to admit it or not, wrestling bougie.
That's true. It's true, Denise. Yeah, you're right. Because honestly, if we wouldn't be fighting so much if we weren't.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. There's times where, especially if you've been watching wrestling for a very long time, you pick up on things and, you know, you become a student of the game, right? Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm saying. Like sometimes certain matches will take you out of it if you can see the wheel spinning in that person's head.
Totally. It's sometimes why like local indie wrestling shows, it's like, I gotta go, you guys. Like, I want to support and I'm there, but it's like, if I could see the process, it kind of takes me out. And I don't want to judge anyone before they're in their form, you know?
Right. But you know what though? Have you ever been to like a really shitty indie show? I would like those really, really low tier ones. They actually end up having a good time with those.
No, they're giving
you some fun memories.
If you just kind of like forget about what you do and who you are and what goes on in the world and you're just there to have a great time, phenomenal. But if you're like judging things, you know.
Yeah, it's a different thing. Exactly. Mm-hmm. We got Taylor Cannon here, who's been a member of the DWO for 15 months, says, I feel like with a good build, Mox could be part of Team AEW. Well, it kind of looks like the ship sailed a little bit there, but yeah, he could have also been a person to be part of it.
I feel like if he wasn't entangled in the IWGP championship, being the IWGP champion, he probably would have been in Brian's place.
And you're going to have to explain this one to me because this one's from Drake Rhymes with Fake. Yep, fake-ish. Drake says, Sunny Kiss's cousin had a yard sale with puppies all over. Did you see this? This is a real thing?
I don't know what that means.
Okay, I was hoping you knew what that meant.
Cousin had a yard sale with puppies all over. It's a bar, but I don't know what that means.
So I was going to say we just know who's Sunny Kiss's cousin. Like, do we know the cousin?
I don't know, man.
This one's hard. I don't know what we're talking about here. But if there really was a yard sale with a bunch of puppies, I think that's pretty fun. Is he being legit or is this supposed to be something else?
I think we're probably just getting trolled. But if he's not, then like, let us know.
I don't know what people are doing out there. Shit, go throw a freaking puppy giveaway. All right. Hamburger Helper says, hey, Denise, are you going to Double or Nothing? BTW, you're amazing. Thank you so much. And I will be at Double or Nothing. Reg and I are going to gamble $20. It's going to be great.
Yeah. On our way to Vegas, we were just talking about being hot and it's nothing compared to what we're about to experience later this month.
Nah, dude. Why'd you remind me?
I'm trying to prepare you, Denise.
It's the effing worst when it comes to the weather. It's if you've never been to Las Vegas, it literally feels like you're putting your face in an oven, except you're walking your entire body. And then you go into the hotels and it's like negative 50 degrees in there with the AC is blasted, which I appreciate, by the way.
Yeah, you get a cold. But yeah, you go outside and it feels like, oh my God, you want to scream because like the sun is just like beating your face down. It's terrible. And it's like some places it stinks too. So it's like hot and stinky. It's like, it's not.
Oh, it's all over. I remember Double or Nothing. I think it was like 2 years ago. I decided to go for a walk. And honestly, like it was hot, but it was not excruciating hot because by then it was already nighttime. It was like 8 o'clock. It was still hot though. I went for a walk for about like 40 minutes. I just walked the strip. By the time I got back to my hotel, I felt like death was knocking at my door, man, because I felt so exhausted from the heat and it stayed with me the whole weekend. I came back home and I was out the entire Monday. I think Monday and Tuesday, I was like that sick from Double or Nothing.
And you don't even drink, Denise. Wow. Imagine all that plus you're drunk the whole time. And
no, thanks. No, thanks. That's just torture. That's not even having fun. Yeah. We got Johnny here who says, whose theme song do you want to see played during Anarchy in the Arena? That's something that we've touched on. I think at this point, AEW should run a poll. Do a poll. Pick four songs and let the fans vote.
Yeah, because this is going to, of the options we have available, I'm like, I don't know. We're going to have to like get a fans vote for this.
Or what about Eddie Kingston's? What's the lyric again? The world is cold or something?
No, it needs to be something like with lyrics. Like, you know, Judas worked well because everybody knows the whole thing. And like, if it's mostly instrumental, it's not going to work the same.
Yeah, but he's got like two lyrics in there, I think. I don't know. He's got a couple lyrics in there. The world is cold. I don't know. I forget the song. Grapple Geekery says, was anyone else expecting it to be Motor City Machine Guns? And Reg, it looks like you were you expecting it?
I was expecting it for a second. I was like, Motor City Machine Guns, we're finally going to get it. But you explaining it earlier, I was like, yeah, them representing for Team AEW doesn't make sense. They haven't been in AEW.
No. Alexander Fitzgerald says Double or Nothing is shaping up nicely. Anarchy in the Arena looks like the inner fan in me wanted Motor City Machine Guns to team with FTR, but I get it. It's Team AW. And like, we'll see Motor City Machine Guns and FTR at some point, whether it's against each other in AW or how teaming up for an eight man. I don't know. They'll come up with something. So I'm not, I honestly, this affected me none whatsoever.
Yeah, and I don't think they laid out that expectation at all either. So it wasn't like, oh, we're disappointed. They like set up, they've been telling the stories with Brian and Eddie Kingston, so it makes more sense for it to be them.
Right, of course. Mike T90K says, I was on my feet chanting Hangman like the whole crowd was. Then it was Danielson. I expected Kingston to kick his ass, but going to be a badass match. I also wasn't expecting Hangman either, only because I know that he's, you know, not friends with the Elite. The Elite kicked him out. We all know all of that. But when Hangman comes back, I still want him to be a heel. I've said this before. I'm sticking with it. I still want to see the mean version of Hangman Page.
So do you want him to join them?
Kind of, yeah.
Him and Jack Perry look too much alike, I think.
No, they don't. In what world do they look the same?
At parts at the brawl at the end, I was like, wait, Hangman's here? I'm like, you know, sometimes sometimes two white boys can look alike. It's okay.
Yeah, but not those two.
With the beard and the hair and the leather jacket.
The hair is so different and the beard is so different. The texture is complete night and day difference. Right.
Texture over here. Garnier Fructis over here. Breakdown of it. No, because he had his hair like up and like, you know, a little bit.
Freaking Jungle Boy looks like a freaking lion with that big old hair. And then you got Hangman Page has got the cute little down little hair with the little beachy waves at the end. Come on, yeah. Totally different.
Breaking it all the way down. I get it. You just wanted to talk about their hair.
Oh, I'm just saying it. Anytime I get to talk about hair, I might as well take the opportunity. Rafael Garcia says, I wasn't really up on this Dynamite until I heard Mina's theme. Mina's theme makes everything better. It's unfortunate the crowd was more into the hockey. Well, you know, this brings up a good point, and I want to get into this. I want to talk about the Serena Deeb promo, because you talk about the crowd being more into the hockey.
Uh-huh.
This honestly got awkward. Not even gonna lie. This was incredibly awkward. So Serena Deeb goes out there and she's cutting this promo, right? That is supposed to be serious. But it kind of took us a while to realize it, because she's talking about having had three seizures, which I didn't know about. I don't think people really knew about it, but she's talking about something so serious, and the fans didn't realize it in the beginning because it took her a while to set it up. And the fans were chanting for the Oilers during this. And so she stops and she turns and she's like, all right, all right. It just got awkward, Reg. It got really awkward because everyone kind of realized it, like, oh, this is something serious and we're out here chanting for the Oilers and now everybody feels awkward. And then nobody really cared about the promo. So then finally Toni Storm comes down. You're like, okay, Toni Storm's going to come out and say something funny. It ended up being pretty enjoyable. She calls her a charity case. And my favorite part was honestly just her taking out Toni Storm and Toni Storm falling flat like a pancake. It was great. Yeah, that part was great. But everything else, ooh.
It might be how Serena set everybody up, because she was like, hey, what's up, Edmonton? And they were like, we're up. And then she's like, right down. And it's like, I don't know if they expected you to go from there right to three seizures. You know what I mean? They didn't expect that transition. So they were already like, we're here to party. And then she's like, actually, we're not partying. I'm telling you guys about something super serious right now. So when it's happening on the show, I'm like, what? And how they have the camera, it was like, so you can see some of the people in the back being like, what's going on right now? You know what I mean? Like, there's some people like standing in the back, like, what are we? You know what I mean? And, like, it did get awkward for a second. I was like, damn, something needs to happen. And so when Toni Storm came out, did her little bit and got punched, it really saved it. Before a bit there, I was like, oh, I don't know what happened. Like, the setup, where she was, like, something was off there.
It was too long. Because she took too long to get to the point. So that was the hard part. That's why the crowd didn't know how to react, because she came across and I'm like, okay, for example, what is Serena Deeb? Is she a babyface or is she a heel? Reg, answer that question. Because to me, she came across as a heel in the beginning of this, in the beginning of this specific promo. But then she sort of turned baby face when she's talking about the seizures. And you're like, oh, so then it just got really awkward. And I think that's what the crowd felt. They just sort of felt awkward because I don't think they really, I don't think they knew how to react. And I don't blame them because even me, I'm sitting here going, I'm not really sure how I'm supposed to react.
She's supposed to be the heel. But then like immediately when Tony came out, it felt like people want to cheer Tony and they were already like,
the heel.
Exactly. That's what I don't really get. Are we doing a heel versus heel thing? Because people want to cheer Tony and them being kind of awkward and turned off by the whole thing. They were like, yeah, Tony's here to save us, essentially. So it's like, where do you go from here?
So is Serena Deeb, has Serena Deeb done anything to actually make her a heel, or does she just sound like one?
She just sounds like one. Anytime,
right, I don't recall her doing anything heelish that I recall.
Anytime you come as a wrestler and you're like, we need to get serious. I'm here to do this. That's different than this bullshit that they've been doing here. That's all like heel tendencies, even if you're not trying, even if that's not her intention. If you say like the guy, the shit that you like is whack, I'm here to do the real shit. That's always sounds like a heel. You know what I mean?
Right. So I think that was where I was a little bit confused with this. But either way, they ended up saving it towards the end. And again, it was really just Toni Storm going out there and taking away some of that awkwardness. But this was just, this was not what I think that they had planned. I don't think they felt that it was going to turn out this way.
And I just thought about that. What was that last week when they're at Daily's, Denise? And remember, she came out and she sat down, but the audio was screwed up. And I'm like, damn, she just keeps getting in these awkward situations.
Yeah, but they replayed it though on Collision.
Oh, did they? Yeah. I'm like, did we ever find out what she said?
They replayed it on Collision, and then she did a second backstage promo on Collision. So they made it up. They made up for it. They really did.
All right. I hadn't caught up. I thought that was hilarious.
And you're all talking shit to me because I didn't watch Dark. Reg, watch the product.
I'm gonna let you live today, Denise.
I always get so much shit from you, from everybody in the chat for not watching Rampage. And now I feel like, you know what? I deserve it. I deserve my my moment here. Cause you know what? I tuned in last week for 3 hours of AEW, both Collision and Rampage. I deserve my flowers for that.
Stays home for one Saturday night and look what happens. You went out afterwards. I bet you did.
No, I don't go out, Reg. Do I look like the kind of person that goes out?
Out is like going to get dinner at Whole Foods.
Dude, I eat dinner at 3. What are you talking about?
What the hell am I going to be doing
getting dinner after Rampage, bro? That's my nap time already.
Dude, it's like 8 p.m., Denise. Stop.
Yeah, you know what I do immediately after these shows? I take a shower and I do my beauty routine. Okay.
Oh my God. And then I call it a night
and I play my little games and I watch my little shows and that's it. Okay.
I don't go out to BJ. She couldn't even think of like a cool place to go to.
BJ's is cool. Isn't BJ's cool? Bro, every time I drive past BJ's, there's a big ass line to go inside. And when I go in, there's young people, okay?
Working there, yeah.
BJ's is cool.
That's what I was really hoping. I'm like, I hope there's a bunch of people that don't know what that restaurant is, and they're just like, what is she talking about? BJ's, you know?
BJ's is everywhere, right?
Yeah.
Well, my friends, since we're on the topic of BJ's, now's the time. Get Blue Chew, promo code Denise. Are you jobbing out in bed? Do you have dreams of main eventing in the sack? Well, have no fear. Blue Chew is here to help you become the champ. Soon you'll make your baby face comeback and get the finish. Blue Chew is the place to go for chewable versions of Sildenafil, Tadalafil, Vardenafil. These ingredients help men achieve stronger, harder, and longer lasting erections for sexual activity. Woo! The chewable tablets help fight off all forms of ED, which can include performance anxiety and maintaining an erection long enough for sex. A Blue True subscription includes a free online consultation, 24/7 medical support, a prescription for chewable sildenafil, tadalafil, vardenafil, if approved, and discreet delivery straight to your door every month, all from the comfort of your own home at affordable prices. No more in-person doctor visits, no more waiting for appointments, and best of all, no more awkwardness. So what are you waiting for? Head on over to the description box of this video and click on the link and make sure to use the promo code Denise.
What's up?
BJ's everywhere, baby.
I can't. Oh, man.
Promo code Denise. Get you some Blue Chew. Yeah, you guys have to know about BJ's. They got the Bazooki, the big cookie. Like, if you heard of Bazooki, that's where they usually do that.
You know, I don't know why BJ's was on the top of my mind, because I just went this weekend, BJ's actually.
BJ's was on the top of my mind. Yeah.
I went. Okay.
You said it. I don't know.
Me and my husband, we shared a Pazuki.
Yeah, at
we
BJ's?
We really did, though. At BJ's.
You and your husband. Okay. We should probably move on. Look.
I was trying to move on. That's why I played an ad. All right, let's get BB in here. We got BB says, I'm living for Kendrick and Drake references in wrestling. Who did it better, CM Punk on Monday or Swerve tonight? I'm going to say Swerve tonight because I missed CM Punk's on Monday. Which one was it on Monday that he said?
He said when he was like, he hates the way that I walk. He hates the way that I talk. He hates the way that I talk.
Oh, yeah.
Blah, blah, blah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that was a part of it. But yeah, I think Swerve's is...
He blended it very nicely. I think CM Punk blended it more nicely to the point where you didn't realize that it was totally a Kendrick Drake thing.
Exactly. CM Punk likes to, that's usually how he works his promos in, is he does subliminal shots. You have to like be in the know, which is why his is dope. But I think Swerve just like being out there is a little
because he flat out said it though.
Exactly.
He flat out said like, I'm going to beat you the way that Kendrick beat Drake.
And Punk is not a part of the culture also is the thing. So there you go.
We got Mike T90K who says, play Cry Me a River during the match.
Could you imagine? Dun, 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 dun. Dun, dun, dun. Everybody's punching. Dun, dun, dun. That'd be pretty good, huh? Cry Me a River. Eddie Kingston walking down with the fire. Cry Me a River. There's fire in the back. He's on. He's bloody. All kind of stuff. It's a pretty good scene, Denise.
I'm thinking about the lyrics. Tell me you love me. Why did you leave me all alone?
Exactly. There's carnage. There's anarchy everywhere. Everybody's fighting. There's all kind of shit. Britney Spears is in the back with a knife.
What?
Because, you know, Britney Spears is always somewhere with a knife. No,
but, okay, first of all, as a Britney Spears fan here, I'm all for this. If this song were to play, the pop in the building would be immaculate, because everyone here, no matter whether you listen to pop music or not, knows this damn song, because this shit was playing everywhere for like since it came out. God. And with that being said, screw Justin Timberlake because he was not nice to Britney Spears. Moving along. Amir F. I'm a Britney Spears fan, Reg. Always have been, always will be. Amir F says, real glass, real fire.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man, we got Alexander Fitzgerald here who says, I'm really thinking Kenny Omega has to be returning soon, at least. I hope so. Kenny Omega versus Okada and All In would be huge. You know, when he started mentioning May 26th, Double or Nothing, I was thinking, no way. This is he's crazy. This is not going to happen. But then when he just announced the match, I thought, oh, thank God.
No, and then Denise, when they were doing the reveal, when FTR was doing the reveal, I think for a little bit the fans started chanting Kenny Omega, and then for a second I was like, maybe? And then I was like, oh, no. You know what I mean? Like, he did. There was a couple of setups where I was like, Kenny could be here, but he's not, dude. Like, he did that promo in that hospital bed for a reason.
I was also thinking, God, my brain. So I was also thinking when Kenny Omega was there in the hospital and the whole thing, did it pop into your head? The Austin Vince McMahon
Vince
thing.
And Austin. Yeah.
Thank totally. You. I wanted to make sure I wasn't the only person because it popped into my head and I was like, how funny would it be if Jack Perry just came in right now and was like,
dude, hit him with the bedpan? That shit would have been so funny, Denise. Come on, you guys.
I would have died tears of happiness. I would have drowned in my own tears.
Crying on this pod right now. Jack Perry ran in and was like, surprise! And just hit him with the bedpan. Kenny Omega's knocked out. Missed opportunity, you guys.
Come on, AEW. What are we doing? Come on, Will Washington. We're just going to blame Will for that one. How sad. All right, Chris Ludek says, I think the Elite need to be Team AEW to establish them as a top heel faction and continue the abuse of power angle and the Bucks are doing. Okay, so Chris wants the Elite to beat Team AEW. What do we do here? Do we have the Elite defeat Team AEW? Because I'm a little bit torn here. I agree with Chris wanting to let them continue going crazy, but then you can continue this all the way to Blood and Guts, perhaps? And then have it be like a Team AEW victory then?
The Elite beats them. Yeah, I think that makes the most sense, right? Because what does the other side do for anything? They get right, revenge for Tony Khan?
Yeah, but I'm saying they can get their happy ending later.
Back to the BJs, I see.
I think the Elite needs to win at Anarchy in the Arena. You can't have freaking Okada coming in here, joining the Elite, making it a big old deal that he's a heel and everything. You can't have the Elite just take over, Jack Perry take out the boss, and then for them to do all of this stuff, get all their ducks in a row, for them to be completely wiped out at Anarchy in the Arena. No.
Yeah, it would. Yeah, I think the Elite, this makes more sense for the heels to kind of go over with the match type and how they could get over on the baby faces. The Elite's probably going to go over.
Joseph Molina says, play Not Like Us.
Could you imagine Not Like Us just playing throughout the whole arena? It is the West Coast. It is Vegas. It would hit really hard. I'm into it.
Yeah. I don't hate that. I'll have to learn the words, but I don't hate it. Van Housen Van Live says, I hope they play the final countdown for the whole match like they have done in the past in Anarchy in the Arenas with Wild Thing. I would like what I was going to say Wild Countdown, Final Countdown playing throughout the entire thing.
That is honestly the song, but like money is a lot.
Mike T90K says, shout out to Harley. Whoever is working with the women's wrestler needs a raise. They are killing it right now. Thank you so much to Mike T90K for that.
They have a squad. I was going to be like, I don't know if I could think of one specific person that's back there helping. Like, they got like a great team of former wrestlers and producers that are just working countlessly with these women. So shout out to everybody kind of with their hand in the women's division.
We got Jason PS3 who says Anarchy in the Arena with the final countdown would be a really good one. A second that. Alexander Fitzgerald says the chat has spoken, play all of Kendrick Lamar and Drake's diss tracks during Anarchy in the Arena. Hey, how many are there? What, like,
there's, I think, nine.
There's nine in total. And they're how long each?
They're like 2 or 3 minutes. Some of them are 6 minutes.
All right, do the math. We can get a nice little lengthy match from that. Just play them all in the order of they came out in.
Listen, you guys are a smart chat, but tonight you're even smarter. We're making money around here, Tony Khan.
Christopher Marino says this would have been better off as a sit-down interview.
Serena Deeb.
Yeah, for sure.
1,000%. Maybe like do the sit-down interview and yeah, just all of it. Honest, I'm like thinking like, no, yeah. If Tony Storm came in during the sit-down interview, did the same exact thing, probably would have hit a lot harder. The live crowd is what made it awkward, honestly.
Well-rounded Leo says, I'm sorry, AEW is confusing using Tony as heel, but she is saving Mariah against Anna Jay and Orange Cassidy is face, but walking out with heel Don Callis. Let's talk about that. Orange Cassidy and Trent Beretta. I got to tell you, though, I feel like this feud, I know like Well-rounded Leo kind of pointed out some discrepancies there, but damn, I'm really digging Trent Beretta right now as a heel. Like, I am for it. He comes across as believable. I thought the match was fun with them going into the crowd and, you know, doing their fighting throughout the crowd. I thought that was really cool. And I was a little confused by Don Callis walking out with Orange Cassidy. I kind of saw it as, oh, he's trying to keep him away from this madman that is Trent Beretta right now. That's what he was doing, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's telling a story, you guys.
How'd you feel about this matchup? How do you feel about the story?
I like this a lot. I think Trent Beretta being like an old school, like, I don't have any redeeming qualities type heel of like, everything I do is so you guys really hate me. I'm going to beat up your favorite guy. I'm going to call my ex-best friend a shitty person. Like, all the things, not trying to get like, I'm a cool guy. Like, no, I hate all these motherfuckers. It's all about me now. I really like the direction of that. And I thought the match was fun. Orange Cassidy has had so many just great one-on-one, no frills about it matches, but then the added element of them being able to go outside, that thing on the guardrail where Trent does in the ring where he's standing up there and they whip him down, and he did that, was a sick spot right there. But yeah, I think this is some really good angles, and adding Don Callis in there, at first I was like, I don't know, but every time Don Callis comes out and the heat that he gets from the fans, I'm like, oh, I understand every time he's in a story.
Yeah, no, I'm signing off on this because I had a really good time with what they're doing. I have been waiting for the longest time for them to do something with Trent, and I feel like this is finally the moment. And I feel like if they keep going this direction, if they really use Don Callis and the heat that he gets, and that rubs off on Trent Barretta, because I think we're off to a really good start already. I do think that Trent could get himself to the main event picture with this story alone. And it's been a while since we've, when's the last time you really saw a guy that has sort of been in AEW in the same spot? Look at Swerve. He's got his moment to go up in the, he's probably the last one who did it, where he was in one spot on the AEW roster. He wasn't in the main event scene, and then had the one feud that catapulted him to the main event picture. And I want to see that happen for more guys. I want to see more guys get built up to the point where either they become champion or how they become really great challengers to the champion.
Yeah, and the way that AEW's fan base works, it's always much sweeter when it works like that, Denise. When we see it from the inception to the completion, we see like what he used to be this tag team wrestler, beloved, all of this. Now he's this monster heel involved in this feud. He could be a big challenger for a world champion very soon. I'm liking this for Trent. I think kind of separating him away from that group is what's really going to help him, because I don't think that held him back. I think that part of his career is going to be the reason why he gets so much more over as a heel.
Right. So I'm on board with this, man. I want to see this continue to heat up. And I just want to see Trent Barretta continue to cross, get to the point of no return with all of the really messed up decisions that he's been making. Yeah. We got Brandon here who says, y'all are funny and 10 out of 10 segue. LOL. I hope you both are doing well. We're doing good, my man. We're doing good. I love how some people in the chat, by the way, knew what BJ's was, and others were like, what now? We got Drake rhymes with fake. Yep, fake as Drake says. What do y'all think about the Heinz ketchup packet versus the red face Kool-Aid man? Main event. I got thirsty.
What? Another mystery of a bar.
Okay, so he's obviously talking about Adam Copeland versus Brody King. And okay, is it just me? Or did you notice how differently Brody King bleeds compared to other guys? This is weird. It's a texture thing again.
I think that's kind of what Drake Rhymes with Fake is talking about here. Is it like, because like, as soon as you saw Brody King's head, it was like, wait, that looks different. You know, it looks different than usually when somebody has gets busted open. And I was worried for a little bit there, Denise. I'm going to be honest with you.
Why were you worried?
Because it looks different. It looks like, well, what's wrong with his blood, man? Somebody help this man. Take him to the hospital. Why were you worried? What do you mean? You saw it?
I did see it. It looked, it was weird because usually the way that blood comes out, it's like messy, you know, it's all in blotches, and it's, and some parts are, you know, thick and some parts are not. And it's more like a splatter versus him. It looked like he put his face in a bucket of blood and it just all came out so smooth around his face. And I'm like, that looks weird. It looked really, really weird. And I'm not going to lie to you, it stuck with me the rest of the match. Right. The rest of the match, I was thinking about it. And I'll be real with you. This whole time I was thinking, wow, I wasn't expecting them to go all out for Adam Copeland versus Brody King the way that they did. Like, they really made this feel like a big time main event. On paper, I didn't really think it was going to be what it turned out to be. So kudos to them. And I respect, you know, what Adam Copeland's been doing the last couple of months now. I'm going out there and he's really changed my opinion on this Cope Open, because the way that it started, I wasn't feeling it. It wasn't hot. I almost felt like it was like a chore to watch. And now we're getting something totally different. Now we're getting these fun match with these very different opponents. Like, he's got range, man, and all of the different people he's been facing.
Yeah, I was excited about this match because I'm a big Brody King fan. California, you know what time it is. I knew that their styles were going to mesh well. And given that they were given the no disqualification thing, I knew that was going to work out. The spear through the apron on the table, very great stuff. I think that Brody King's such a big brooding force that he's such a villain for everybody. I don't know why he's not in the main event scene. Like, he could be a big main event villain for any competitor at any moment. And I'm hoping that he gets more moments like this. But yeah, just like you're saying about Cope, Denise, these open matches have been so great, so different. He feels like, he doesn't feel like the guy we've been seeing for the last some odd 25 years. He feels like a new wrestler. He feels like he's trying different stuff. The matches are spaced differently. He feels like a different person. And it's great that he's in there with such a diverse roster of guys, and having the championship involved, I think, makes it even better. This is great.
That's what we wanted to see, right? Because when Adam Copeland first came into AEW, we were seeing nothing different. And now it feels like, okay, we're getting AEW's version of Adam Copeland. Exactly. And I think that's, at the end of the day, what we wanted to see. Of course, we still want to see Adam Copeland, who he is and who we've known for all of these years, because so many of us grew up with him, honestly. And I mean, it depends on your age, right? But, you know, a lot of people grew up watching him and whatnot. So you got this version of him that you've known for such a long time. And now we're really starting to see him mix it up here in AEW. So this was good. That spear that you mentioned through the table, clean, clean, and looked even better because Brody, you know, he's a big husky dude. He's a meaty dude. And so that, I loved that spot. But yeah, it was a very messy, bloody match. We got Amir F, who says final countdown if TK is paying for it again. Guys, TK has money. If he wants to pay for it, he can.
But I think, like, for future rights and broadcasting that match, it doesn't make sense to pay for this expensive song that you're never going to be able to pay again. So we could probably forget about final countdown.
I feel you. All right, Alexander Fitzgerald says Hangman interferes to help the Elite. I wouldn't hate it. I'd pop.
I like it. Yeah, I'm not mad at it.
All right, we got Crazy 101 who says Elite win and then attack AEW and Motor City Machine Guns debut. You like that?
I like that a
lot.
I think
it's a little too much.
What do you mean?
Just a lot happening.
That's the point.
All right. Okay, fine. BJF says, I believe in Joe Hendry throughout Anarchy in the Arena. That would be a very exciting day for TNA wrestling.
I'm saying TNA would be like, we finally made it. But man, Joe Hendry is really over. I've been hearing his name all everywhere for the last 2 weeks. It's crazy.
Good for him, man. I like his songs. We got Rounded Leah, who says that swerve attack was so obvious. So let's talk about that because we haven't gotten into that portion of it. We had this confrontation between Swerve and Christian Cage. We talked a little bit about some of the mentions about the Kendrick Drake thing that Swerve threw out at Christian Cage. And to be honest, I didn't hear anything Christian was saying because everybody was chanting for the Oilers. So whatever, Christian Cage had some words, but Swerve brought out the Mogul Embassy and they ended up turning on him. And you know what we got now? You know what we got? We got Brian Cage out here working for Christian Cage from the looks of it.
Oh, we caged up. We got two cages together. That is some kind of vortex of life, and something crazy is going to happen based off of this. Ever since these two came into this company together, Denise, people have been wanting this double cage off. I don't know if I was expecting this. Like, you saying it's so obvious, like, yeah, you could kind of see them telegraphing it as it was playing out, but I didn't know where I kind of stood with this. As Swerve kind of transitioned and becoming a babyface, became world champion, there was this thing when he got attacked just last week, people were like, well, where's the Mogul Embassy? This doesn't make sense. Why didn't he get saved? So I was like, well, where's it going to stand? Because it doesn't really make sense as a babyface to have those heel guys behind him, and turning them babyface doesn't make a lot of sense either. So I kind of saw this coming. I thought it was a really good way to kind of get them away from him. And I thought the attack was great. That double T gimmick powerbomb thing through the announce table. Great work.
The reason why it's hitting for me is that now you've stacked the odds against Swerve a lot more, right? Exactly. Now he's going up against how many guys? You got three in the Mogul Embassy, Christian Cage, Nick Wayne, Killswitch. We're going to throw Shayna in there because she's taller than he is. So that's seven people. Am I missing anybody? Seven people. Swerve against seven people. So I feel like, well, obviously when he overcomes all of these odds, it's just going to help continue elevate him as champion. So I like the idea of Brian Cage being the one to do it too. So I thought that this all really hit. And how do I say this? I was sort of not really interested in Swerve with the Mogul Embassy as much. I think we went so long without really seeing them as a unit that I almost felt like it was forgotten to the point where it didn't really feel needed. So I prefer them as an opposition to Swerve versus, you know, all of them in an alliance.
Yeah, it got a little mixed up as they became like Ring of Honor tag champs. There was all this going on. Brian Cage was a single wrestler. They didn't have him as a unit. As most of Swerve's feud with Hangman and Samoa Joe played out, they weren't really like that present. And him becoming world champion, they weren't really present at all. So this makes sense for him to be on his own by himself. Somebody was asking where Prince Nana is. I think for the story of him saying, Christian, meet me next week, I'm going to have somebody. Having Prince Nana out there wouldn't have made a lot of sense. And he would have just got Prince Nana beat up. And I don't think you want that.
No, and Prince Nana's still selling the whole thing that happened to him. So he's going to be out for a bit. So I wasn't so much asking for where he would be at. But we got Grapple Geekery here who says, between Ethan leaving and the embassy turning, we'll never get Paige and Cage versus Cage and Paige in a cage on Rampage. The tongue twisters, man.
Paige and Cage versus Cage and Paige in a cage on Rampage.
Do we have another Paige? Yeah, Hangman Paige.
Hangman Paige. Yeah, he's one of them in there.
You can pluck him in. I swear there was another one. No, that's it, right? Is there all the Paiges and Cages?
I think that's all the Paiges and Cages.
All right, cool. Mm-hmm. Grapple Geekery, thank you so much. All right, we got a couple more topics to get into with AEW today. But guys, do not forget that today is our live drawing for our Apple reviews. Someone here is going to get to watch Double or Nothing for free. Yes. We actually got like 20, we got 25 entries in total.
Oh, awesome.
26, somewhere around there. So it really like went up. So there you go. This is a test and that'll be happening at the end of the show. But I want to get into some other topics that we haven't touched on just yet. These ones are really quickly, to be honest. We got Rocky Romero versus Jay White. All I really had to say about this was, hell yeah, I'm ready to see Pac and Jay White. And I'm just happy to be seeing Jay White in singles matches. Anything that stood out to you?
Yeah, I like the little promo that they did with Pac before, and Jay White interrupted him to be like, what's up, big dog? Let's kind of get this started, kind of teasing them going on. Really good match between Jay White and Rocky Romero. I want to see Jay White in more singles matches. They had three championships. They said the Ring of Honor, the AEW Trios belts, and now the Unified belt. And it's like, well, why do they still have those other belts? Still confusing stuff. I'd like for them to tell us exactly what's going on here. But if this is leading to Jay White versus Pac, we're good.
Bro, at this point, I'm just like, they got three belts. Let's go.
They got so many belts, yeah.
Dude, they do. I feel bad for them having to go with all of those belts. It's kind of annoying having to always be carrying all of those things around. But whatever.
Everybody, when Edge came out at the end, I was like, man, that's another championship. Like, there's a lot of belts here.
There really is. All right, we got a quick video of Samoa Joe working out. We haven't seen Samoa Joe since he lost the AEW championship. Where do we go now? Do we got anything for Samoa Joe? What's the next logical step?
That's what I was thinking as the video was playing. I was like, well, where does this kind of lead Samoa Joe? Do you get him into another title feud? Do you get him maybe into a spot with Okada, which I wouldn't be mad at seeing? Do you get him into something with Will Ospreay, which I might not be mad at? Or do you just have him
and Jay White? Why the hell not?
Yeah, you got to get these trios belts off Jay White because there's so many things to do. There's a lot for Samoa Joe, which is great, and I'm interested. I thought this was a pretty cool video.
All right, we got your favorites, the Learning Tree versus two jobbers. Reg, what spectacular thoughts did you have on this match here? Because I'm going to be real with you. My favorite thing in all of this was the fan sign that we had. Someone had Big Bill's government name, Large William. A fan sign was my favorite thing in this match, and I've got nothing else to contribute. Reg has got nothing to contribute. That's, dude, what do we do? What do we do? Honestly, at this point, what do we do?
Oh, I like the Mo Jabari. He's really cool. He was on the BW 500 and the bump that he took off the chokeslam. Good stuff.
All right, there we go. We found something good there. Do people know they're supposed to boo this character, by the way? Because there was a lot of people that were clapping. Like, more than usual. Did you notice that? Or am I crazy?
I didn't want to. I don't want to say they're in on the bit, but something Jericho's thing is working. Not on everybody, but it's working on certain people.
Yeah, because he's being like, you know, the thank you. And there are people that are like, yeah, yeah, okay, we get it. And I'm like, guys, we're supposed to be booing this man.
I mean, they are in Canada. They're making good points in the chat.
All right, thanks. That's a reminder. I just forget that. Okay, fine, 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 fine. But I was like, where were the boos? We're supposed to boo this character. What are we doing here?
Everybody's like, Canada. Nobody likes him. They only like him in Canada.
Alexander Fitzgerald says petition to get Jericho to stop wearing tights.
I don't know why he went backwards back into tights. Like, put on pants, Grandpa.
Oh, man. All right. That's it. That's what we got for the show. We did all the things. We talked about Dynamite. We got it all in here. We'll be back each and every single Wednesday to talk about some AEW, but it's time for the live raffle. By the way, this was the only thing I could find to put it in, a SummerSlam hat. They gave this to me for free, so I've had it here just chilling. And I was
The Willow and Mercedes Moné stuff. You're forgetting that.
Oh, sorry. I didn't write it down because it happened at the end. Mm-hmm. Damn, I was already ready to do this freaking.
Wow, Denise, come on. There's a big match happening here.
Okay, what is there new to say? We've talked about it. Mercedes is wrestling Willow. Mercedes is going to win. This is going to be a good match. She cut a fun promo today at the end of the show. What do we have that we haven't discussed already?
Nothing. I just want to dare you say that.
It wasn't like anything groundbreaking happened today.
I knew you were going to get into this bit, so I was like, let's do that.
Wait, how'd you know?
I just knew. I knew what you were going to say, because like, what really do we have to say new on it?
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't got anything new that we've already spoken about. We've covered this. We've covered it. Until they give us something super explosive with these promos, there's not really anything else to add.
They have to have at least one physical altercation before this match happens. Like one, like we're fighting, we see what Mercedes can do before we get there. There can't be all of this up into the show.
Right, right. Well, that was it. I was trying to think if Mercedes said anything that really stood out to me.
No.
No, she doubted herself for a second, but it was not really a real doubt. She was just playing us. See, there was nothing to add. All right, let's do this, guys. Let's get to the dang giveaway. So first and foremost, thank you so much to everybody that entered, that went to Apple Podcasts to leave a review on this pod. We got so many nice ones. A lot of people put you over to Reg, so shout out. A lot of people really enjoyed the show, and I appreciate everyone who took the time to do it. And this was cool. A test. This was a test, and I didn't know how many people were going to go and leave a review. So I'm thinking about doing this again next month because I feel like we got a pretty good amount of new reviews on the podcast page. So thank you guys so much for doing so. And let's do this. So here we go. We got everybody who put their review in from the moment that I announced it was included into this giveaway. And again, this person will get to watch Double or Nothing for free. So here we go. I'm so excited.
For the free.
All right, here we go. VG_time. Congratulations to VG_time.
Let's go.
Please, I'm pretty sure this is your username, but I'm going to go and find you. If I don't find you, you come find me, man. Hit me up on Twitter or comment on this YouTube channel. Or if you're here already, I'm going to be looking for you and verifying it because this was their username on Apple Pods. So VG time, if you're listening, you have one to watch Double or Nothing for free.
Congrats, VG time. You earned this. And thank you for the reviews. Thank you, everybody, for the reviews. Like Denise said, we're probably going to continue this just because it's really cool. And honestly, you guys just saying kind words about us is the best part of all this. So shout out to all y'all.
I love it. Alrighty, guys, that is our show for today. I will be back this Friday with Robin to talk about some SmackDown. And then I'll be posting some more content for this month. So keep an eye out here on the channel. Reg, what do you got going on?
It's just a regular week. I think this week, tomorrow's Ask Grab City, Saturday's regular Grab City. I'll be in LA for New Japan on Saturday. So yeah, that's about it. Shout out to y'all. Thanks everybody for always coming and watching us on this post show. It's the funnest time, and get you a Pazookie at BJ's.
I can't. This podcast is not sponsored by BJ's, Reg.
I want it to be sponsored by BJ's.
I'm done. Thank you guys so much. We appreciate you guys. See you on the next one. Bye, everyone.